Welcome to the Release City Church podcast. We hope this message today inspires you, strengthens your faith, and helps give you perspective to see how God is moving in your life. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the message.
Amen, amen. Well, welcome to church, everybody. Welcome to Release City. Welcome to part two of a brand new series we've entitled Built for Battle, How to Fight a Real Enemy. How to Fight a Real Enemy. Are you ready for the word this morning? Can I have the next 25, 30 minutes and just lean in with me? I believe today is going to be a life-changing message for you. I know it's been life-changing for me in preparation. Now, if you were here during a few weeks ago when we were in our Give God Some Breathing Room series, we kicked off that series, and now you're here today, or you were here last week, and you were a part of this new series we just kicked off, you're going to recognize or notice a difference in the content and the tone. That's because the subject that we're dealing with today is actually something that I believe that the enemy or the devil, it's a subject that the enemy would actually want us to be dumb with or dumb about or stay dumb to. In other words, don't become educated. And through this series, my goal is to pull back the layers of our everyday, ordinary life and everything that we go through in hopes that we'll finally understand and see what's really happening around us, not just in our world, but what's happening around us in our community, and that we will understand that what we are a part of is not just ordinary life, but it is a battle. We are in a battle. Nudge your neighbor and tell them, say, we're in a battle. Every day, it's so true. Every day that you and I wake up and we step outside of our door, the doors of our homes, we're stepping into a war zone. What you and I are a part of is more than just everyday life. It's what the Bible clearly describes as, spiritual warfare. And today in part two of how to fight a real enemy, we're going to be looking specifically at stewarding authority or stewardship of authority. Who had it in the beginning? Who was it entrusted to? Who stole it and who stole it back? And we're going to look at all of that and how it affects our lives today, because you and I are in a battle. I want you to get that locked in your head that you're not just going to a job tomorrow, clocking in so that you can pay some bills and experience a vacation at some point this summer. Hello. That you are stepping out when you lock that door behind you. You are stepping onto the battlefield. You are stepping onto or into the battleground. Today, my goal is before you leave here that you will be educated and informed not only of who you are, but whose you are and how God has equipped you to walk through this life victorious. If you believe it, say amen. Amen. Because whether you acknowledge it or not, ladies and gentlemen, everything about you is under attack. Your home, your marriage, your kids, your finances, your future. But the good news is, as a believer, you have been given authority to deal with the enemy right on the spot. Not just take it, not suck it up, buttercup, and just deal with it. No, you've been equipped to bring the heat to the battle. God has given you, and we're going to get there before we, not today, but we're going to talk about, make sure that we're dressed. You put clothes on. Some say, I'm glad I did. Me too. Me too. But there are so many people that walk outside their doors naked spiritually. They're not putting on the armor of God. They're not dressing themselves and clothing themselves. So we're going to get to that part too. But you have authority. Say that with me. Say, I have authority. If you brought your Bibles, let's go to the book of Matthew chapter 16. Got quite a bit of scripture, but we're going to get through this morning. Matthew chapter 16, I'm going to read, begin with verse 13. It says this: when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" Well, they replied, "Some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, and others say Jeremiah or one of the other prophets." Then he asked them, "Who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah." Other translations says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, "You are blessed, Simon, son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. You did not learn this from any human being. Now I say to you that you are Peter, which means rock, and upon this rock I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you forbid," or another translation you're more familiar with says, "whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Now I want you to just flip over a couple pages to Matthew 28. This is what most people recognize as the Great Commission, but most of the time when they read this, the story of the Great Commission, they bypass or they don't read verse 18. So we're going to back up and read verse 18, and this is what it says. Jesus came and told his disciples, I've been given all authority. Everybody say, all authority. Jesus said, "I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." Now, let's talk about who had authority, who had the power, who had the authority to begin with. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God. Meaning, before anything else was, God was. He didn't need anything else in order to exist. He was God all by himself. God existed all by himself. He was here first, so he was the one in charge. God had all power and all authority. And let me say this. Oh, I'm coming. Just got to make sure I'm not putting the cart before the horse. Not only was he first, everything that came after him, he created. So he created it all. And let me say this. There was absolutely nothing random about God and how he created the heavens and the earth. He spoke things and they happened. This leads me to my first point. The creator of everything is the king of everything. The creator of everything is the king. As Dad would say, he's the king on top of the king. That means that God is sovereign. What does that mean? That means he is the supreme ruler. And right from the jump, he had all authority. And as he was finishing up creation, he decided to get a little bit creative and decided he wanted to delegate some of that authority. And we read in Genesis 1, chapter 27. Let me just read that for you. It should be on the screen for you. Genesis chapter 1, verse 27 and 28. So God created human beings in his image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, two genders. Always has been, always will be. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and govern it. Reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and all the animals that scurry along the ground." So when God created Adam and Eve, He made them different from everything else that he created. And here's what I mean. Because he gave mankind, he gave Adam and Eve, he gave us an eternal soul. That means every one of us will live forever somewhere. Did you hear me? All of us will live forever somewhere. The Bible tells us that the heavens declare the righteousness of God, but it will never be able to know him as Savior and friend. That's been reserved for you and I. Did you hear me? The birds of the air, all that. I know that you would love to believe this. Little Snuffy, cute little puppy dog. I don't know. I don't have all the answers. I can't find that. Will they be in heaven? There's nothing that backs that up in Scripture. But when he created mankind, he gave us a soul. That means that we will live forever somewhere. And the creation, all of the other creation, will never know him as Savior and friend. Only you and I. Are you tracking me? Okay, so not only did God give man the ability to know him as friend, but he also gave them authority to subdue and rule the earth, which means God had all the authority, and then he gave the authority to man, the authority to rule the earth. Point number two, God gave man the authority to rule the earth. We're talking about who had it first, Where did it go? What happened to it? Who stole it? Who stole it back? And who should be operating in it today? That's where we're going to land. So here they are, essentially, Adam and Eve, king and queen of the earth, because God gave them and delegated to them the authority to rule over the earth. Then, if you know your Bible, you know that Satan slithered into the garden and has a conversation with Eve and convinces Eve that there is a shortcut to getting the wisdom of God, that she didn't require her to stay in alignment to get it. She didn't need God to get it. Think about the lie he's still telling today. You don't need to go to church to be a Christian. You don't need to go to church to go to heaven. Well, I don't know about you, but I need you. You didn't die on the cross for me, but when I fall in the ditch, y'all gonna jump in with me and help me get back out, just like we'll do for you. Right? So you need each other. Nudge your neighbor and say, we need each other. We need each other. Now, what you need to understand about this authority, the authority that Adam and Eve had, it was not an autonomous authority, it was derivative. What does that mean? Autonomous means I can do whatever I want because it's my authority. No, they had a derivative, which means the authority that I have comes from another. Okay? So the power and authority that Adam and Eve had, it wasn't their power. It was God's power. And as long as they stayed in alignment, he allowed them to operate in that authority. Amen. We always wonder, why is life going sideways? And when it does, why can't things balance back out? Because life sometimes, yeah? Life will get to life and sometimes. How come it won't balance? You've got to check your alignment. Because if you're out of alignment, you're going to be out of balance. You're going to be out of balance. So here comes Satan, the same devil that we talked about last week that started a mutiny in heaven that got him kicked out because of his pride. And when he got kicked out, where did we say he went? No, he's not in hell. If he was in hell, we wouldn't have no problems. He's on earth. Amen. Amen. I love that. You gave me an opportunity just to say that little joke one more time. So now we've got the same pride that the devil tried, Satan tried to take over heaven, and he got Adam and Eve to break their covenant and alignment with God. Surrender their authority to govern over. They surrendered it to him. The same pride that got him kicked out of heaven is now showed up on the earth. Amen, because he wants the authority to take over. Amen. Watch this now. So when Adam and Eve sinned, they inevitably forfeited their authority, the authority that God gave them to govern the earth. How did he do it? Through deception. Everybody say that word, deception. Deception. And they handed it over to Satan. Point number three, man handed over his authority to Satan. The authority that God gave them to rule and reign and subdue the earth, they forfeited it because they tried to bypass God. See, that's like with Brittany when she was telling me about the doors and things that God was happening. And she's so keen to making sure that she doesn't try to open a door that isn't ready to walk through yet. Amen. God, listen, man handed over his authority to Satan. Now, let me talk about this. There's a lot of Christians that get tripped up right here because they don't believe that Satan actually has power, okay? Let me give you a shocking statistic. The Barna Research Group, which is a Christian organization, did a survey where they discovered that 4 out of 10 Christians do not believe in a literal devil. They believe that he is actually just a symbol of evil. Listen, this is a problem, church, because if you don't believe in a real enemy, you'll never enter the fight. Or you'll never fight. You're already in it, whether you wanted to be or not. But for people who go, oh, it's just a symbol. I'm telling you what, a symbol is doing a lot of stuff today. Listen, Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 4:4 that Satan is the god of this world. And then we read last week in 1 John 5:19 where it says the whole world is being swayed and influenced by the evil one. You mean to tell me he doesn't have power? What's that mean? That means the devil and his demons are fully operational in this world, And it would do you well to recognize the power that he does have and what he's capable of and what he's doing all around your life. Amen. It would do you well. Luke chapter 4, verse 5 through 8 says this. This is when the Holy Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness. Then the devil took him up. Who? Jesus. The devil took him up and revealed to him all the kingdoms of the world. In a moment of time, he said, this is what he said to Jesus. I will give you the glory of these kingdoms and the authority over them, the devil said, because they are mine to give to anyone I please. I will give it all to you if you will worship me. And Jesus replied, the scripture says you must worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Basically, what Satan was telling Jesus was what your father promised you when he said, I'll give you the nations. Satan was saying, I'll give it to you and you can have it bypassing the cross. Because he knew the cross was the end. That was his demise. And I'll explain that in just a second. I need you to lean in. Listen, if what Satan was saying was a lie, I have the power, this is all mine to give you. If it was a lie, Jesus would have corrected Satan. Let me give you an example. Here's what I mean. Remember when Jesus was standing in front of Pontius Pilate before he was crucified? And Pilate said, I need you to speak. Don't you understand that I have the power to take your life? And Jesus' response was, the only authority that you have is what my Father gives you. So he corrected Pilate, but he didn't correct the devil. Why? Because there was truth in that statement. I can give you all the powers of this world. They're mine to give. What was he talking about? When did he get the power? When he deceived Adam and Eve. He had the power. Are you following me? Okay, watch this now. Watch this. So he's already going up against Jesus, who is God in the flesh, by the way, and trying to deceive him. Watch this. Here's my point. If what Satan was telling Jesus was untrue, he would have rebutted it. But because he didn't correct him, evidently what he was saying, unfortunately, was true. And as I told you last week, it doesn't take long to look around this world to see the influence that Satan has. It's influenced our politics. Let me move off that. The greed of Wall Street. The materialism in America that's keeping people distracted from pursuing a true relationship with God. The devil is influencing the pornography and human trafficking. He's the influence behind all the false religions. Because contrary to popular belief, all faiths are not equal. All religions will not get you to heaven. That's a lie and a deception of the enemy. His influence is behind all the racial injustices and hostility. His influence is what's pushing the LGBTQ agenda in our nation. Listen, what am I saying? Satan is at work in our world, and he has been given temporary authority to operate in this world. I understand what I'm doing today. I understand what I'm doing. I understand what I'm doing. I'm pushing back darkness. I'm using the light of truth of God's word to expose the lie of the enemy. And we wake up every day just worried about punching a time clock, trying to collect a check, and the devil is trying to destroy this nation. The good news is this, Satan's authority was only temporary. Because here comes Jesus. Listen, in Genesis, when Adam and Eve surrendered their authority over to Satan, God was not caught off guard. He wasn't like, oh snap, what am I going to do now? No, listen, the Bible records that Jesus, the Lamb of God, was slain before the foundations of the world ever existed. In Genesis 3:15, after Adam and Eve fell, we read where God told the serpent, you will strike the heel of man, but the seed, everybody say that word, seed. But the seed of woman will crush your head. What's that mean? That means there's a baby coming, born of a woman, that will crush the head and authority of Satan. Amen. This was actually the first messianic prophecy. And I need you to lean into this statement. Listen, the seed of woman, that should actually cause you to go, what? Y'all do know how ladies don't have seed. They have eggs. Do we need to go there? Okay. Just make sure y'all understand how this works. Listen, what'd he say? Listen, man has seed, and the seed fertilizes the egg of woman. That's how conception happens. Why is God talking about the seed of woman? Listen, I need you to get this. Because it wasn't going to be the seed of fallen man that was going to produce a Messiah. If it had anything to do with man, he would have been disqualified because he would have had sinful DNA in him. Listen, so when God said it's going to be the seed of a woman, he was essentially saying, I'm going to bypass human men and the Holy Spirit is going to overshadow her, and that will make the seed of her womb come to life and become a miracle, and the Christ will be born and crush Satan's head. All of this was actually prophesied back in Genesis. That's why the devil was trying to kill Jesus before he ever made it to planet Earth, because he knew. I need an oxygen tank. Listen, here's what's crazy and shows me. This is how crazy and shows us how dumb the devil is. Because he has Jesus march to the very place that was going to defeat him. He had Jesus marched to Calvary. The cross. And the cross was going to be the tool or the instrument that would be used to be the downfall of all Satan's authority and satanic influence. Watch what Colossians 2:15 says. It says, and after having disarmed, the Greek word for disarmed literally translates to stripped violently. So, and having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. That's what happened when Jesus died on the cross. When it looked as though Jesus was at his weakest moment, when it looked as though he was defeated, when it was actually stripping Satan of all authority through the power of the cross. Man, I wish I could just dive right into that song right there. Power of the cross. I can't do it anymore. The power of the cross is in the blood of Christ. Given for us all. Through his sacrifice. On the cross. Jesus won back. I need you to get this. Jesus won back all authority that Satan had stolen from Adam and Eve. And Jesus didn't stop there. Next he said, I'm going to take the very thing that man fears. Death. Most people in this room and on planet Earth fear death. Even Christians, unfortunately, until they grasp. I was having a conversation with Mr. Ed yesterday. We gave him a devotional by David Jeremiah. He actually was recommended a new book by David Jeremiah. And he told me yesterday, as Amy and I were coming back from Gainesville, he said, I have never been more excited to go to heaven than I am right now. But he's actually, hold on. Can I share the good news? He called me late last night, and he said he had an X-ray done earlier in the week. Y'all know he's got bone cancer, right? Cancer? Back and on the rib. The doctor said what? Help me. Saw him out on his mower the other day, and I stopped my car. I said, yo, you good? He said, I'm good. Ed, I'm so proud of you. When we hung up last night, I told Amy, I said, that's a changed man. I'm pointing at my phone and saying, Mr. Ed is a changed man. You are not the same man I met at the fence line. God's not through with you yet. And if anything, he has used what the enemy meant to destroy you and distract and tear down your confidence. God has actually used that very thing to make sure that you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And it's rock solid. And the devil can't take it away. Hallelujah. Okay, let me move off Mr. Ed because I'll get a call. He'll be like, you preaching to me too much, Mr. Preacher. Listen. Jesus didn't stop at the cross. He said, I'm going to take care of the very thing that most people fear the most. Most people are scared to die. So Jesus said, I'm going to go to the belly of the grave, and in 3 days, I'm going to rise again, overcoming death, hell, and the grave, defeating the enemy of all mankind, death. If you are a born-again Christian, because I already told you, you have a soul. Whether you're saved or not, you have a soul, which means you will live somewhere forever. Somewhere. Heaven or hell. There's only two places. Okay? But if you know Jesus, the good news is there is nothing to be afraid of. Absolutely nothing. It's not death. It's just a transitional moment. You move from this life to the next. I gotta wind this down. Jesus, have mercy on my soul. So what happened? So Jesus took his power back. Are you still here? Jesus took his power back. Number four, God won back all the power and all the authority. But it gets even better. Now God delegates and entrusts it back to those who are followers of Jesus to decree his will. Everybody say his will. Not mine. His will, which means God didn't send Jesus to conquer death, hell, and the grave just so that you and I could live barely making it. That's hogwash. We should walk victoriously. God gave us the authority back that Adam and Eve forfeited. Then after the resurrection, Jesus came to his disciples. Matthew 28. But Jesus told his disciples, we already read this, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands that I have given. And be sure of this, listen, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Did you see what Jesus just did right here? He sandwiched in the Great Commission, his authority, and his presence. Amen. But yet we have churches that are trying to go out and do the Great Commission on their own without the authority of God and without his presence. Amen. Watch me. Question. How can you lose when you actually walk in the authority of God and you're with his presence? You cannot lose. As long as you're operating in his authority and you're going with him. Matter of fact, I always say, I don't want to go anywhere that you're not showing up to. Right? Ladies and gentlemen, if you are a believer, if you're a follower of Jesus, you've been given all power and all authority over demonic powers and the principalities of this world that come against your life. As a believer, to think that we don't have power over Satan is ludicrous. Jesus made it clear that he's given all power and all authority over the enemy to us. So what do we do with it? Matthew 16, 18. I know I'm going back and forth. Watch this now. What do we do with it? 16, 18. Now I say to you, this is what Jesus just said to Peter when he said, you are the Christ. Now I say to you, you are Peter, which means rock. It had nothing to do with Peter. It had everything to do with the revelation, knowledge of who he just said Jesus was. Jesus, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And upon this rock of revelation knowledge, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Listen, this is not saying that God was building the church on man, on Peter. Never go to a church that's built on a man, a preacher, a prophet, Come on. A denomination. This church is not built on me. The church is not built on man. The church is built on the confession of that man. His name is Jesus Christ. And he said, on Christ I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail. Amen. All right, I'm almost done. Matthew 16:19. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom. Who has the keys? You do. Watch this. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom. I'm gonna reverse this and read it in the NIV. I know it's going to be NOT on the screen. I will give you the keys of the kingdom. Whatever you bind on earth, will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. I need you to watch this. Before we wrap up, I need to clean up a little theology. Are you ready? Lean in. Because having grown up in a Pentecostal charismatic movement as a child, I must confess, this passage of Scripture has been misinterpreted and misunderstood. Mainly by people with good intentions. Because for a lot of Christians, Matthew 16:19 was looked at as a blank check. To where I claim it and it happens. Watch this. In the original Greek Santec, watch this. To where if I bind it and heaven responds to my binding. That's not what it says. I need you to watch this. Or if I loose something, heaven goes, uh-oh, be just loose something. We got to get to loosen. That's not what it means. I need you to watch this. And some of y'all are like, I'm confused. The original Greek, hear me, this is not what the Scripture is saying. The original Greek was written. The way it was written has been unfortunately misinterpreted through a lot of translations. This is how the original Greek reads. Whatever you bind on earth has already been bound in heaven. And whatever is loosed on earth is already loosed in heaven. In closing, let's get there. I need you to lean in. I need you to follow me. The authority that we have is not to produce outcomes. The authority to bind and loose is not to invent and push agendas. And it is not to fulfill personal wishes. I know. Because some of y'all have heard it the other way, just like I did for most of my life. In the actual Greek, the power of binding and loosing is to enact heaven's will. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. Where? On earth. As what? It is already done in heaven. The word will never contradict itself. Listen, it's not to I decree I'm getting a raise. It's not to decree I loose blessings on my finances. You don't have to loose anything. If you're tithing and you're being generous and you're following your finances or you're following God's word, you don't have to loose anything. It will fall in your lap. Are you tracking me? I loose blessing into my finances. You don't have to loose anything. Just be obedient. It'll happen. I feel the Holy Ghost up in here today. I'm almost done. I think that's number 5. How many closes do I get? Here's today's message. Heaven has already bound and loosed things. And you and I have been given authority with our mouths to bind and loose what heaven has already bound and loosed. We've been given the authority to unloose what's already been done there. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. You can go do this research just like I did this week and get the same information. And it would do you well. The word actually works for us when we work the word correctly. Write that down. The word actually works, will work for us when we work the word correctly. Paul said, don't let any bitterness take root in your heart. You want to know how to invoke the authority you've been given over bitterness? By saying this, I bind the spirit of offense in my life. It's already done in heaven. You're not asking them to do anything else. You're not something. You can't bind something to invent something and make something happen for yourself. You're binding and loosing something that's already the authority is already there. You're just making it happen here. I bind the spirit of offense over my life. I will not be offended by this thing. I will not let that person offend me. I will not let this situation offend me. It will not take hold of my life. I bind it in Jesus' name. That's what I'm talking about. Why? Because the word already said it should be bound in the life of a believer. You're just tapping into what God's already spoken about your life. The Bible says, don't let any sin reign in your mortal body. What should my response be? I bind the spirit of immorality over my life and out of my home in Jesus' name. You have no place in the life of a child of God. See, by the authority of what heaven has already bound, I bind it in Jesus' name. Last point, number five. I hear you, Adam A. Time to eat. Number five, our identity gives us the authority. It's our identity that gives us authority. The Holy Spirit just showed me this. It's our identity that gives us the authority. Who did he make us in the image of in Genesis? He created us in the image of himself. And it's our identity that gives us authority. So guess where the authority comes from? It's not autonomous. It's derivative. It's not my authority. I'm only operating in what's been given to me. Are you following me? I'm trying to help you. That way, when the devil comes knocking on your door this week, I bind you in the name of Jesus. You have no place in my home. Take your hands off my kids. Because the Bible already says that the devil has no place in your home. So you're just binding what he's trying to do. I bind that in Jesus' name. You have no place. We pray it all the time. Father, put angels around the four corners of our house. It's not who you are, it's whose you are. Okay, can I have five more? Just five more. Just five more. Because if I don't wrap this up, you're going to be going, I need to give this to you. Because it will all make sense. Ephesians chapter 2. I love y'all. Thank you for letting me. If you'd have said no, I'd have stopped. And then I went home and said, Jesus, deal with them. I'm just kidding. Ephesians chapter 2, 4 through 6. But God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you have been saved. For he has raised, lean in right here, for he has raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us, everybody say us. He seated us with him in heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus. He's not talking about Life 360, a physical location. He's talking about a spiritual position. And as a child of God, listen, when you accepted Jesus into your heart and in your life, at that moment, God took you out of the kingdom of darkness and set you, positioned you into the kingdom of his light. Friends, listen, if Jesus is seated above it all, Adam, get ready. Jesus is seated above it all. And according to scripture, with him, you and I are seated above it all. You and I are seated above it all as well. You've been seated, chosen to rule and reign. You've been given authority to tell the devil. Young people, Noah, Bryson, y'all, listen, y'all have got authority to walk on your campus and go, devil, I know you've had a lot of freedom to reign on this campus, but I'm a child of God and you have no right. We're reclaiming, listen, we're reclaiming our campus for Jesus. Because what happens is, Bristol, you will make those spirits, I'm not trying to be all freaky about, but you will cause those spirits to become uncomfortable when you walk on campus. When you come through that gate, those spirits recognize there's a child of God on campus. Listen. and he's given you authority to do it. The days of the devil running rampant on our school campuses, it can be over. It must be over. But he's looking for students who will say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Whether it's see you at the poll day or not, we're going to meet around the poll. Whether it's just me and a few friends, we're going to pray over this campus. This campus belongs to Jesus. Come on, talk to me, Miss Julie. You're on that campus. It's time. It's time. It's time. It's time for Adam to come close us out. Amen. Everybody say, it's time. And with that, God is good. And all the time. Yes, he is. Do you receive that word today? Love you guys. Thank you so much.
Thanks again for tuning in. To hear more messages like this one, be sure to subscribe to our podcast channel, or you can also check out previous messages from our live worship experiences. If you like what you're hearing, consider rating it and even sharing it with your friends. For more content from Release City or to just stay connected with us, be sure to check us out on all of our social media platforms at Release City Church or through our website at releasecitychurch.org. We love you, and until next time, we believe the best is yet to come.